But enough of the small talk. Let's continue our study in James. But that's what it's all about. It's what you say and how you treat people by the words that you say. Have you ever heard the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Is that really true? No, it's not, is it, Gene? I wish it were true. Because we'd love to say, well, you know, names never hurt me, but they do sink in, don't they? And I'll be honest, done a lot of counseling with people, and many people I know, their personality and the way they interact is based on how they were treated when they were younger. And the words they use are because of the words that were used against them or for them when they were little. Names do hurt us. In fact, Proverbs probably has a better saying. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue is a very powerful thing. And James has a good bit to say about it. In fact, the book of James is really known for this particular portion of Scripture. So we're going to dig into it some. I want to do it a little bit different this time. I'm going to read the whole passage and then just see what wisdom we can bring out afterwards. So if you want, you can follow along. This is James chapter 3, right at the beginning. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that can make grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Once again, James doesn't mince words here. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So James is very specific here. He says, what is your mouth producing? And can you bless God and then curse people who were made in the image of God? How can you reconcile that all in the same mouth? Remember the saying we used to use when we would hear a kid down the street curse? We'd say, you kiss your mother with that mouth? You know? We have to think about the things that we say. They have an effect. I try to be very careful with this. Now, you guys know I have a sarcastic humor, and we love to have fun and pick on each other. Right, Brian? Right, Mark? Yeah, you know. So we're ribbing each other constantly. But we do it totally in jest, and we have fun with it. But we're always making sure, I think we are, that we have positive words for each other as well. That when we leave a conversation with one another, that we feel good about ourselves, that we don't feel torn down. And that should be our goal around people that we interact with. We should be making their life better, not making it worse. Now, I know it's hard because life has its ups and downs, and we have our struggles, and not everyone is a nice person, and they're not always easy to compliment. But we need to do that. So how do we tame the tongue? How do you work to improve what you're saying? Let me give you three things. First off, we focus on the positive. Philippians 4 says this, and we use this verse a lot. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. There's this battle going on in your mind constantly for what your attitude is about life. And I've seen people on both sides of the spectrum. I've seen people who are positive no matter what. And I've seen people that seem to be negative no matter what. Who do you prefer to be around? Do you love being around the negative friends that are negative all the time? Not so great. And the same could be said of your friends, what they think about you. Now, I'm not saying we aren't negative sometimes, but we need to think on the positive. You've got to be thinking positive, because if you don't, eventually the negativity that's inside of you will come out through your tongue. Right? What's in the heart comes out on the tongue. So we have to start focusing on the blessings in our lives, the good things. It's not always easy. For some of us, that has become a trap in our lives. We can only think of the negative, and it becomes cyclical. And we think about it over and over, and we replay it and replay it, and we find no hope. And people who suffer depression go through this a lot. It's just, they can't let go of the negativity. But there has to come that time where you start to focus on the positive. And I can't give you any simple steps for that. Everyone's got their own struggle, but you have to work at it. And I will say it does come from prayer, studying God's word, understanding what you have and what you will have in heaven helps you to become positive. But it is a battle every day to be thinking about the positive things. But if you think about the positive things, you'll be saying the positive things. There's an old Cherokee proverb, an Indian proverb, and it goes like this. An old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside of me, my grandson, he said. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil, he is angry, he has envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, and he feels inferior. And then he continued, the other wolf inside of me is good. He is full of joy, peace, love, hope, humility, and kindness. The same fight goes on inside of you, my grandson, and the same fight goes on in every person, both wolves fighting for control. So the grandson thought about it for a second, and he said, Grandfather, which wolf will win the fight? And the old Cherokee simply replied, the one that you feed. We need to feed our positive thoughts. That's what Scripture is all about. That's what the Proverbs, the Psalms especially, are all about. They lift us up. They feed us the positive. And we need to feed ourselves those things if we're going to win that battle that's going on in our mind. So if you want your tongue to be saying good things, then good thoughts have to start happening inside. What are you focusing on? Start to change the pattern. Now, I'll tell you, if you really struggle with negative thoughts, it's not going to happen overnight. It'd be great if you could just flip a switch and you're suddenly positive. But you didn't just flip a switch to get into that situation. That builds up over time. But you can change your mind. Focus on God. Focus on His Word. And focus on positive friends who lift you up. And you will find that you can change the direction of your thoughts. And when your thoughts change, the things you say will change also. So first off, focus on the positive. Secondly, spread the positive. Right? It's not just about you being positive, but you want to be contagious to others. Ephesians 4 says this, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. There is plenty of negativity in the world. If you want people to say negative things to you, you can go just about anywhere and hear that. You can get it on the TV. You can get it down the street in a store. I hear negativity all the time. What we need to hear are positive thoughts, positive words. So that needs to start here. Let's start talking positively to people. Now, that sounds simple. It just sounds like, well, duh, yeah, do that. But you really have to think about it sometimes. Do you ever take time to think about what you're saying? Do you ever go back at the end of the day and go, so what did I say to people today? That's hard for me because I say a lot of things, right? 80 words a minute, gusts up to 120. It's just flowing out there, right? But sometimes I do. I'll walk out after church and I'll think, how did I make people feel? And I'm not talking about this here. This part is easy for me. Public speaking is my thing. So I can come up and talk about Scripture and hand this stuff to you. I practiced it all week. I'm ready to go. I'm polished. What I really think about when I go home is the individual conversations, the ones I had out here while grabbing a donut or up in the balcony or just in the hallways. How did I make somebody feel? Did I give positive words? Did I give negative words? Did I give any words at all? Did I ignore some people? Now understand, there's 150 of you in here today. I'm not going to have an individual conversation with all of you, or I'm going to be here till dinner time. But you know what I mean? There are certain people that you're going to bump into and you're going to have a conversation. What did I honor them? Did they feel like they heard from me and like they were important to me? I hope so. One thing you'll notice me do, and this is not, I'm not doing this as a brag. I just want you to understand something. When we do Hot Wheels, I get a lot of time with the kids, and I love the kids because we're on about the same mental level. Few of them are up above me, and I have to really concentrate to understand what they're saying. But when we raced last week, you know where I was? I was down on my knees with them, down at their level, talking with them because they were important to me. And we talked about our race cars and how lousy my car was doing, you know, and how great there was. And I was still able to rib them. Oh, mine's going to win this time. But it was all out of, like, we were friends. We bonded. And their time was important to my time. So we raced cars and we had fun and we made eye contact and we talked. That was important to me. And it should be to you too. When you're with somebody, are you with them? You know, do you make eye contact? Are you listening as much as you're speaking? Remember we talked about that just the last 2 weeks. It came up both times. We're doing it again. A lot of times we just want to spout out what we want to say. But are you listening to what they're saying? Do you listen? Do you care? And you can't fix everything they tell you, of course, but you're at least there to listen and understand. We all need to do that. That's part of the positive, too. Your tongue, it needs to speak positive, but it also has to be positively quiet sometimes as well. And that shows people that you care about what's going on in their life. So don't just focus on the positive. Make sure you're spreading the positive. That when you're with somebody, that you're there with them. You're not somewhere else. You're not on your cell phone. You're talking to them and having good conversation. And that'll happen is make sure you do that first step, that you're focusing on the positive. This has been affecting me lately. I've been going through some anger issues. I'm like everybody else. I got my challenges. And anger lately for me has been a challenge. And I'm the kind of person that represses anger. And I haven't been letting it out where I need to. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go crazy. You know, it has to be appropriate. But I've been repressing that anger. And because of that, there hasn't been that positivity inside. And that ends up showing up in my conversation. I notice some of my conversations aren't the way they should be. And sometimes it's even lack of conversation, not wanting to talk to people because I'm too busy being angry at somebody else. That's become more important. I need to be angry right now. Can't talk to you. I'm busy assassinating somebody in my mind. You know, let's be honest, we do that, don't we? So it's important that we get things fixed inside if we're going to get things to work on the outside. And I'm working through that. It's a challenge. You could pray for me in that. But let's make sure that we do that, that we're focusing positive inside so that positivity might come out when we're talking with others, that we become an encouragement, as Paul said to the Ephesians. We should be encouraging people because people need that. And I don't want this just to be reactive, but I want us to be proactive. People come into our church with a lot of stuff, and I mean a lot of stuff. And I think you guys know that because a lot of you have a lot of stuff, right? We talk, and I know some of you are going through some stuff. I don't know what else to call it. So when we come to church on Sunday mornings, it's paramount. It's incredibly important that you are positive and encouraging the folks because you might be the only one that does it that week. Let them come out of here with their batteries recharged. You're like, yeah, somebody cares, and I can get through another day. Because I know there's a family that's taking care of me. It's so important. Then one last one. We focus on the positive, that's the internal. We spread to the positive, that's the external. And then thirdly, we let God see the positive. Psalm 119 says this, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So what the psalmist was saying is, Lord, every word that comes out of my mouth, may it please you. That's an interesting thing to keep in your mind as you go through each day. Right? So it's not just me going up to somebody, going up to Emily and saying, Emily, it's great to see you today. You look awesome. You do look awesome, by the way. How do I look? You could reciprocate. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for that unbiased, unfished for compliment. You're a really good friend. We're tight. Yeah. My conversation with Emily, it's not just heard by Emily, it's heard by God, right? Everything we say is heard by God. Now, I'm not trying to scare you with this. Well, maybe I'm just a little bit. But we're held accountable for what we say. In fact, let me give you a very sobering verse. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 12. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. Right? Focus on the inside and it comes out on the outside. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, I'm not saying you're forfeiting salvation there, but your words have an impact. And they will either acquit you or condemn you. So what you say to other people is heard by God. Now let that carry with you for a little while. You have a responsibility to your Heavenly Father for the way you treat others around you. Do you remember John said that? He said, how can you say you love a God that you can't see when you hate a person that you can see? He said, you're a liar. You can't love God if you don't love those who are created in God's image. Right? So the words you say, you'll be held accountable for. So let's make sure, not only for the sake of that, I mean, we want to do things right before God, but let's make sure we are being an encouragement. Golly, we need encouragement these days. If you watch the news, we need encouragement. We sure do. So let's start working on this, church. Think, when you're coming on a Sunday, how are you going to be with those around you? Or when you're with your family? I'll be honest, there's been a few times lately because of these anger issues I've gone through, I've had to walk in the room to talk to somebody, and I've had to stop and take a deep breath and go, Robert, check your attitude. And I had to work at it to go in and be happy with another person because there was so much going on inside me. But I wanted to be an encourager, not somebody that was tearing somebody else down. We don't need any more of that. All right? So let's work on that. I think we do pretty well as a church, because I do listen in on some of the conversations going on in the lobby. Sorry, I am creeping on you just a little bit. But I am glad to hear the encouragements that go out from this church. And that's why I like our prayer time, when we can share things like that in our prayer chain, encouraging one another. Father, we're glad that we could be together today. It's a privilege and an honor. And Lord, I think we take it for granted sometimes, that we have the freedom here in this country to meet, to encourage one another and to be encouraged, and most of all, to get closer to you, because there is no greater encouragement than feeling the movement of the Holy Spirit within us. Thank you, Lord, that you do work with us, that you are strengthening us, and that you're even disciplining us to become better. Help our words, Lord, to be full of grace and love. Father, I know there are times where we have to discipline, and there are times for righteous anger, and there are times, Lord, I know when we need to vent. But Lord, would you help us to vent in appropriate ways, around friends, and for limited times that we might start to focus on the positive again, that you might see us doing your work throughout your community. That this community, even though they feel beat down by rising taxes and turmoil in the streets and all that's going on, that they might be able to say, there's a place I can go where I'll be lifted up. May that be your house, Father. Not just here at New Danville, but in every church. May they be filled with encouragers who bring people to a better place, and that place is with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.